Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter number 4. Got some things to share with this morning that I hope will be a blessing and encouragement to your heart. Several weeks ago, I preached on the subject of obstacles to obedience, obstacles to obedience. And truly, if you're trying to serve the Lord, there will be obstacles along the way. Today, I want to speak to you on the subject of the fruits of obedience. The song book says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And truly today, if our life is to be what it needs to be, we need to be trusting the Lord and obeying the Lord. God's blessings do not come to those who do not obey the Lord. And I believe today that we'll see that in some of the passage of Scripture that I have in chapter number 4. I want to share with you a few thoughts. And I want to show you four things that I believe yields the fruit of obedience in our life. Now, we'll read the text in just a moment, but let me just begin previously by telling you what has taken place. Up into chapter 4, right before chapter 4, we find the Lord had appeared to Moses in a burning bush. He had told Moses that he wanted him to go down to Egypt and he wanted to lead the children of Israel out. He wanted to go and even tell Pharaoh to let his people go. There was only one problem. Moses did not want to go. In fact, Moses began to make all kind of excuses, and he began to say, for what shall say, the Lord hath appeared to thee? But he said, behold, well, let me just read verse 1 and get it started. Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared to thee. Can I remind you, as a preacher of the Word of God today, I feel so insufficient. But I do know that when I stand here, God's able to empower me and enable me to preach the truth of the Word of God. Now, if God's calling Moses, it literally appears, and it wasn't only appearing, Moses was trying to wiggle out of it. He did not want to go and give his life leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. He did not want to go back to Egypt, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But we find that he was trying to get out of it, and he goes on to tell the Lord. He made one excuse after another. He said, oh, but I can't speak good. That's all right if you can't speak good. God said, I'll give you somebody that can speak for you. And that's exactly what he did. And so standing before God, he continued to make all kind of excuses because he did not want to obey God. Moses argued so long. Look, if you would, at verse number 14. The Bible said, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. So in righteous anger, God insisted that Moses go. Moses became God's messenger. And by the way, if God calls you or God speaks to you, no excuse or no argument will ever take the place of doing what God calls you to do. So Moses was to surrender to God's call, and that's exactly what you and I need to do. When God calls us, we need to listen and follow. I would hate to be outside of the will of God. I cannot say in my lifetime that there's not been times that I have, but I'm grateful today that I believe today that I'm in the will of God, doing what God would have me to do, but I shudder to think what it would be like to be outside of the will of God and not doing what God would have you to do. God has much that he wants to do through his people. It's only through us. He left and went back to heaven, and he left us. We're his voice. We're his hands. We're his work in getting the message out to those around about us. Now, we know that Moses finally gave in and went. Moses became a great man. He trusted in God, but he was human just like we are. And sometimes when God's calling us or God's telling us, we can think of 110 excuses why we can't. But friend, if God be for you, who can be against you? And he said, I will. He said he would strengthen us and help us. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The first thing I want you to notice today, I want you to notice as we go through, I'm going to give you four instances in chapter 4 of where Moses became obedient to God and he received the fruit of the blessings of God on his life. I don't know about you. I don't like heartache, and I don't like disappointment. I don't like trials. But I sure love the blessings of God when they come in my life, and he blesses me in a special way. So what we find here is obedience, and then comes God's assurance. Number one, obedience, then God's assurance. In verses 18 and 19, we'll be looking at that. We find Moses has surrendered now to go. He's ready to go and do what God has called him to do. And he surrendered. Look at verse number 18. The Bible said, "And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren, which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace." Now understand, Moses had been in the desert for some 40 years, watching his father-in-law's sheep, his father-in-law being Jethro. And he had been doing that, and now God appears to him while he's in the desert in a burning bush, and he said, "I want you to go to Egypt, and I want you to lead the children of Israel out." He makes all the reason and excuses he can't go, but finally comes to the conclusion, and by the way, you need to come to the conclusion today, you can't argue it with God. If he said it, it's right, you better believe it, you better practice it, you better allow it in your life. And so finally he come to the point where he gave in. But he did something. All these years he had worked for his father-in-law Jethro, and so he thought it would be respectable for him to go and to get things in order before he left. He, to the point, Moses showed respect, I believe, to his wife's family. He asked Jethro's permission. He made arrangements as he left. And I don't think there was a thing in the world wrong with that. God's call, I believe, calls for loyalty and courtesy and kindness to those around about us. Oftentimes, people may call somebody to go to the mission field, and their parents don't want them to go to the mission field. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's dangerous to be that way, but there's sometimes parents don't want the children to go to mission field because they don't want their grandkids to be millions of miles away. And however, they may try to do everything in their power to get them not to go, but if that person is determined to do what God wants them to do, they will try to help their parents to understand and realize that this is what God wants them to do and is exactly what they need to do. Now, Jethro had taken Moses when he was a fugitive out of Egypt. He was running from Egypt. He had gone down to Egypt, and his father-in-law took him in, gave him a job to do. And so he felt responsible to go back and just let him know what he was doing and where he was going. And by the way, I think that's just a good way of courtesy. No matter what, if, you know, oftentimes I appreciate folks, sometimes I don't appreciate, in fact, I don't like for people to leave the church, but many times people have left. But many times they had the courtesy to come into my office and sit down with me and said, "Hey, we feel the Lord leading us somewhere else." I'm not going to argue with that. Listen, if God leads you somewhere else, that you better do what God says do. But it's really nice when people give you the courtesy to come and talk with you and tell you what they're planning to do. So Moses went down and made things right with his father-in-law. Now Moses obedient after that, after he was obedient, here's what God did. His obedience was fruitful. Once Moses obeyed, he had made arrangements to go to Egypt. God gave Moses the assurance that he needed. Look at verse number 19. "And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go and return unto Egypt, and for all the men are dead which sought their life." Now, God told Moses, if you remember, when Moses, he was raised in Pharaoh's house. If you remember, he was the little baby in the bulrush. And Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him into the palace, and he lived there. But later on, he killed a Hebrew that was there, and it buried him in the sand, if you remember all the story. And so he's on the run from Egypt. And I kind of understand his excuses now, because God says, "Moses, go back to Egypt." And Moses did not say it in these verses, but somewhere in his mind, he must be thinking, "God, that's the last place I want to go back to. They got a bounty on my head, and they're looking for me, and I don't really want to go back there." However, as he made preparation to go back, he was afraid that they would come against him and befall upon him. But I want to remind you today, if God sends you somewhere, he's able to take care of you. So we find that he realized and he gave him the assurance in verse number 19. He said, "Listen, those guys are all dead. You don't have to worry about them. I already took care of them. They're taking care of them." And so Moses, by being obedient and going and doing, God assured him of safety, security, and protection. He said, "I'm going to take care of you. Those men aren't there anymore. You just go and do what I've commanded you to do." Boy, isn't God faithful? God will never lead us where he will not keep us or guide us anywhere where we would be in danger. And I thank God today that God is faithful. Here he is surrendering to God's will, going forth as God commanded, and yet God, when he obeyed, God gave him the assurance. You know, I'm so thankful today that God gives us the assurance. There are four assurances that I believe God gives us when we obey the Word of God. The assurance of God's presence. I'll tell you today, the songwriter said, He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. In the Bible it said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, and lo, I am with thee always, even to the end of the age. I'm so thankful today when you're obeying God. Listen, you have the assurance of God that He's going to take care of you and meet every need that you have in your life. And then He'll give you the assurance of God's power. I tell you today, I would hesitate to operate under my power, but I would not hesitate to operate under God's power because God is all powerful. Not only that, but the assurance of God's pleasure. God will do what He desires to do in our life if we're willing to obey Him and follow Him. And then there's the assurance of answered prayer. Aren't you glad God answers prayer? I tell you today, we've seen God answer prayer in people's behalf, and we ought never cease to pray, even though things don't go like we want them to sometime. But yet, God's in control, and we must pray and understand. So obedience, the first thing He did, He finally obeyed. He went, and God said, okay, because you're going, I assure you that I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you what you need. I'm going to strengthen you along the way. The second one we notice is His obedience that brought about God's guidance. Now, Moses' obedience was full. Look at verse number 20. And so the Bible said, God told him, said, go, all the men, verse 19, He said, all the men are dead which sought thy life. And in verse 20, He said, and Moses took his wife and his son and set them upon an ass. And he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Now, boy, I imagine this made the Lord well pleased. Because this man left his family, his home, his job, everything, and made a permanent move to Egypt. The place that literally he had been in danger at one time. And he took his family with him. He took his wife and their two sons. And you know, sometimes when we obey God, it comes at a great sacrifice. We live in a day of convenience. We've got convenience stores. We've got convenient drive-in places to get food. And everything's been made convenient, especially during COVID. They've even made it more convenient for you to do. But you know what we need to understand today? It's not always easy and convenient to serve God. It's not always easy to be faithful to the house of God. It's not always easy to be in the place that we need to be. And yet, Moses picked up his family. And I'll be honest with you, I can't relate to that totally. But I remember years ago when God called me to go to Tennessee Temple. I've told the story before. I packed up my 69 Chevrolet Impala station wagon 3 on the column. I put everything I had in it, and I started for Chattanooga, Tennessee with tears dripping out of my eyes and saying, where in the world, what are you doing, where are you going? But I knew God had called me, and I sure am thankful for the way it turned out. God blessed me with the fruit that came. We must be willing to forsake all for Christ. Listen, we wouldn't have our family if God didn't allow us to have our family. We wouldn't have our family if God did not protect our family. It was Billy Graham that said, when you follow Christ, it must be a total burning of all the bridges that you cross. The reason for lack of commitment today is God's people are unwilling to make a sacrifice. Oh, today, and I've said this so many times, people said, well, you know, we can't go to church too much. We can't do too much because we got other things going on. I don't know, but my Bible said that Christ ought to have preeminence in our life, and He ought to be put first. And if you want the fruit of the blessings of God, you have to be obedient. And I believe that it's meted out here in this chapter today. And before I get through, if you're not convinced, then you need to go back and reread it again. But I'm telling you, God's blessings come after obedience in our life. We see, second of all, well, in this actual thing there, Moses' obedience was far-reaching. Moses' obedience bore fruit again. As Moses continued to obey God, God continued to meet his need. A very special need in Moses' life was for guidance and direction. I tell you today, the Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Today, you ever heard that song, I can't even walk without Him holding my hand? Friend, I'm going to tell you, I feel like that's me. Or how about the song, I need thee every hour? Or how about just a closer walk with thee? Because you see, what we need is we need guidance and direction in our life. Look with me in verse 21 through 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even as thy firstborn. He said, what's he doing? He's letting Moses know in advance what he's going to encounter along the way. Although God may not speak to us in the same way that he did Moses, and he may not spell the things out for us like we would like for things to be spelled out, but when Moses obeyed God, God's heart must have been flooded with joy. Here was a servant that was obeying him in spite of all the excuses, and he was looking for clear guidance and direction. He said, so I'm going to tell you now, before you get down there, Moses, you're going to have a little problem with Pharaoh. He said, his heart's going to be hardened, and he's going to turn against you, but you just tell him that basically let my people go. And he told him, basically, you're going to go, and Pharaoh's going to perform all these miracles. And by the way, somebody said, how did he do that? God allowed Pharaoh to do those miracles. God allowed those things to happen. He said in verse 21 that he'd be aware that Pharaoh's heart would be hardened so that he would not let the people go. Now, I know that's not a great encouragement if you're going off to lead the children out to find out right at hand the opposition that you're going to face, but at least he was prepared. And he knew that there was going to be opposition from him getting them out. Sometimes God hardened Pharaoh's heart. If you read your Bible and go back and read the story, sometimes God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and sometimes Pharaoh hardened his own heart. And these different words are used for harden. It speaks of a heart that is firmly set against the surrender to God's way, of a heart that is so evil it cannot make sense of good sense, such as good counsel or divine revelation. And of a heart that is cruel, harsh, obstinate, unfeeling. When I read those words, I think about what I preached on Wednesday night about the importance of love. How we need to love one another and the love that ought to be seen in our lives. But notice he said the hard heart, it's an awful condition. The Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And truly today, I think how sad it is when our hearts get so hardened that we don't understand. But many souls, through their rejection of God and his word, end up with a heart like that. I've seen it through the years. People in church, at one time they were on fire for God. They were serving God. They was faithful to God. But I tell you what, they got out and somebody said, what happened? I say what happened. They hardened their heart. They hardened their heart against the things of God and the things against obedience. And brother, when you got a hardened heart, it's hard for God, even though God may try. But if your heart is hardened, it becomes cruel, it becomes harsh, it becomes obstinate, it becomes unfeeling. It's a terrible place to be. Maxie Dunham gives an excellent application of this. She said, this is serious business. It's soul business, and it brings consequences. To refuse the gospel call upon our life is, at any level, is to lay another brick in our wall of resistance to God's grace. That's the reason little decisions and responses are made. That's why we don't see people respond to the altar like we used to. That's why people don't surrender anymore. They have no, listen, when we come to the house of God, would to God that we could get back to the place when the word of God was preached. It would bring about broken hearts, not hard hearts. And we would find ourselves coming to the place where God could deal with our hearts, lead us in the way that he'd have us to go. Our obedience to everyday calls of God is discipline that equips us to respond faithfully when the big call comes our way. Friend, God calls you every day. He calls some to repent. And I believe you said, well, preacher, if we're saved, we've already repented. Yeah, but the Bible said, him to knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. And as soon as we realize we've sinned, we need to confess that sin and get right with God. We don't need to wait another day, another hour, another week. We come to the point, if we're genuinely sorry, we beg for his forgiveness. Sometimes God may call us to give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. I just want to say we've had an outpouring of people that have tried to help Brother Cham down at the house. Been working. People was there working yesterday. And People have helped in all kind of ways. You fellas helped move him other night, get him in there and do the things. Listen, Brother Chim, he apologized to me. He said, man, I'm sorry I've been such a burden. He hadn't been a burden. He's been a blessing. And I tell you what, when God calls us to give a cold cup of water in his name, we better do it. When the call comes to speak up to the friend or neighbor who's been misaligned with gossip, maybe somebody said something wrong about them, to take up for him. We get the call to tithe our income to God and give back to him a portion of what he's given to us. We need to answer the call. When God tells us to witness and tell people that they're dying and going to hell, they need to be saved by the grace of God and accept you, repent, and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll die in your sin and be separated from God forever. He calls us every day to live holy lives, to be recognized as people that have been set apart to serve God and to be faithful to him. God comes in many ways. He was to proclaim the word of God to Pharaoh. His message was to include several things. Israel was God's son. Verse 22, look at it. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, God told him what to say too, by the way. Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. You see, the firstborn, the eldest, was given a special place of honor and respect. He received a double portion of the family's inheritance. The law of redemption applied to him in a special way. He was looked upon as one who would succeed his father and the head of the family. He was given preferential status and authority and responsibility. And Pharaoh was to free Israel because Israel was his firstborn. Why? So that she could serve God and live for God and be faithful to God. Moses was faithful in obeying God's voice, and he went as he was called. What a strong lesson today. I don't want to belabor the point, but I'm telling you today, this is a great example for you and I to understand the importance of doing what God's Word says to do. Oh, we need never to go against God's Word, the danger that we will encounter along the way. When we obeyed God, you know what we get? We get the fruit of guidance and direction. Friend, listen what Psalm 25, 5 and 9 said. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. In Psalm 143, verse 10, teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. In John 16, 13, howbeit when he, the spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you the things to come. Obedience brings God's assurance. Obedience brings God's guidance. Thirdly, obedience will release God's hand of chastisement, or his chastisement will be removed from our life when we obey. I want you to look with me in just a moment as we come to pass the scripture. We surrender our lives to God. God wants all of us. Partial obedience is disobedience. We sing the song, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. Do we really mean that? God doesn't want us to hold anything back in our service to him. But this is interesting, what's about to take place in this scripture. Listen carefully. We would not expect this in the middle of a man that has surrendered, a man who is doing what God told him to do, and God's revealing and guiding him in the direction that he need to go. I want you to notice, Moses still was not obeying God fully. He said, what do you mean? Well, look at verse 24. Then it came to pass, by the way, in the end, that the Lord met and sought to kill him. Now, wait a minute, preacher. That's a lot of things I don't understand in the Bible, but now you throw me off right there. Well, it kind of threw me off, too, till I read the rest of the story, found out what he was talking about. He said, they had come to the point, they had come to a place to rest in the night, they were setting up camp, they were on their way to Egypt. When the hand of God's chastisement fell upon Moses, and he said to him in verse 24, he said that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Now why? Why was he deliberately or disobeying God in a particular area? Obviously. Look at what happened. Moses and his family had stopped. Moses suddenly became very sick, was laid out and about to die. Moses had surrendered to do God's will. He was on his way to obey God's call. What could he do? I mean, my goodness, that would make a man want to quit. That'd make a man turn back. Why? Why, Lord, I'm doing everything you can, but wait a minute. God said, I want all of you and not just some of you. So what is it that Moses could have been doing so bad? What was he doing so bad that God was displeased with him enough to slay him? And if he slew him, he'd have to take him home to heaven. He wouldn't have led the children of Israel out, would he? But yet, the scripture tells us what happened. Moses' wife, Zipporah, apparently objected to circumcision. In fact, she bitterly objected to it. And she gave so much strife to Moses that he finally gave in to her and did not do what he knew that he needed to do. He put his wife and her objections before God. He was trying to keep peace at home. Sometimes people say, well, I gotta make peace at home. Well, he was trying to make peace at home, but he gave in to his wife and did whatever she said. And God said, okay, Moses, I want to use you, but I'm sorry. You can't just partially surrender. You've got to surrender all the way. The Bible said this, he disobeyed because he had not circumcised his son. Look at verse 25. So his wife, she gets very angry and mad. And of course, Moses takes a stand, thank goodness. And he stands up and said, this is the way it's going to be. And I'm telling you, it seems crazy, but this is a strong point for us to understand. God is serious about us serving him and being obedient to him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone. She cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. Friend, you say, well, what was all that about? Well, circumcision was a sign of a covenant between God and man. If you go back and read, you'll understand that. It was given to teach men to have no confidence in the flesh. The true believer by circumcision symbolized the confidence in God and not in flesh. So here you got a man. See, there's a lot of people. They say, well, preacher, I'm going to serve the Lord this way because God understands my situation. Well, based on this circumstance, I don't think your circumstances would be any greater pleasing to God than what Moses' circumstance was. And God said he was going to kill him. It was a sign that man had trusted God, that he was a true follower. He was a true believer of Jesus Christ. God himself stressed the importance. In Genesis 17, we won't turn there and read it, but you can go look at 10 through 14. It tells us that God commanded Abraham to circumcise every male child on the eighth day after birth. Now here's Moses, fixed to lead the children of Israel out, but yet he had disobeyed and he had not circumcised his son. And here's the deal. How was Moses going to teach people? That's why it's so important if we serve God, we got to set examples. If we stand and teach a Sunday school class, you remember that you're setting the example for everyone that hears your voice. If you stand and sing in the choir, they're watching your life, and I'm telling you, they're gearing what they do based on you because you are their leaders and the one before them. How was Moses going to do that if he disobeyed God? How could Moses teach people to love and obey God unless he loved and obeyed God? How could Moses teach people to put God first in their life if he put his wife first? Oh, the question could go on. Somebody, this is not saying, oh, and I love your wife. But friend, you better love God, and your wife ought to love God too. You ought to understand the importance. And thank God, here was a lady that felt like she could control him and tell him what to do and what not to do. And I'm going to tell you, there's a great danger in that. I'm so thankful today. My wife and I have been married 48 years. And I'm thankful I would never have made it where I'm at if it had not been for a godly wife that supports me and encourages me every step of the way. I thank God for her. And if you've got a godly wife, you ought to thank God for her too. But I tell you what, God expects, God demands that we do what is right according to the Word of God. And you know what? Don't sound like she did it too willingly, but she did it and she was angered and she threw it down and whatever, as he lay there about to die. But what happened? Well, the removal of the chastisement came. And Moses began to get better. She took it, she threw it at Moses' feet as he lay there. She cried out, "You're a husband of blood to me." And I tell you today, here's a great warning. someone, a husband, a wife, a mother, a father, can keep us from serving God. I think of the story, and I'm not going to take a lot of time with it, but I think it's worth mentioning. Charles Weigel said, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." He sang that song. You know why? Because his wife told him, said, "I don't love you anymore. I'm not going to be a woman. I'm not going to be married to a preacher. You can either choose God or you can either choose me." And Charles Weigel, a great Christian man that he was, he said, "I choose God." And he wrote the song, "I Would Love to Tell You What I Think of Jesus. I have found in him a friend so strong and true. I can tell you how he changed my life completely. He's done something no other friend could do." Charles Weigel wrote many, many gospel songs, and God blessed him. He died at the ripe of age of about 98 or 99, I believe. Yet, he didn't want to leave his wife, but he just didn't have no choice because it was either her or God. And friend, I tell you today, God ought to have the preeminence in our life and everything that we do. She had bitter rebellion against God. She had bitter rebellion against what it was costing their life. No doubt she may not even been wanting to go anyway. We must obey him in every area. We must not hold anything back. We must surrender everything we have to God. And if we do that, God will bless us with the fruit of removing his hand of chastisement in our life. We read on and find out the best we can tell. He sent her back, her and son back to Jethro to live with her father. But again, obedience first brought God's assurance. Moses said, "I'll go." Obedience then brought God's guidance when he started on the way. And then thirdly, obedience brought the release of the hand of chastisement of God. It was removed. And finally, lastly, obedience and then the fulfilled promise of God to him. Exodus 27 through 31, chapter 4, the preparation of the faithful. While God was calling Moses and dealing with him, he was working on the heart of Moses' brother Aaron. Remember, I mentioned that earlier. Moses said, "I can't speak. I'm not eloquent." In fact, we find in verse number 14 there in chapter 4, if I get there, he said, and Moses said to him, Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither hereunto nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I'm slow to speech and slow of tongue. God said, "I got you back. You remember your brother Aaron? I've been working on him. I've been calling him to come alongside you." And he called him to go into the wilderness and speak for Moses in verse 27 and 28. Look at it. "And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went, and he met him in the mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded." While God was working on Moses, God was working on Aaron, and when the time came, he brought them together, and now, after 40 years of absence, Moses is reunited with his brother, and he shared with Aaron. They talked about the call. They talked about the power of God. They talked about the miracles and the signs before all the people, and after the reunion, then they journeyed together into Egypt to do what God had called them to do. The promise was fulfilled. When they came to Egypt, they obeyed God. They gathered all the elders of Israel together, verse 30 and 31. Have your Bibles read. "And Aaron spake to all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, that he had looked upon their affliction, and they bowed their heads and worshiped." You know, Moses performed miracles. God's wonderful promise to Moses was fulfilled. He said, "I'll go with you, I'll strengthen you, I'll help you." Their heart was filled with joy. Their heart was filled with hope and expectation. God's deliverer had come. When we obey God, God fulfills his promise always. Obedience and then fulfillment. Don't expect God's blessings to come before obedience. God's blessings always follow obedience. In Joshua chapter 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." He said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." When we obey God, great blessings will follow when we obey God. Now again, you understand what I'm saying? God expects us to be obedient to His word and to His name. He'll give you great assurance. He'll give you guidance and direction. He'll remove the hand of chastisement from you if you're disobedient. And all these are fruits of obedience. I wonder today, will you faithfully surrender and serve God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind? Charles C. Finney said this, and I close. Revival is nothing else than a new beginning of obedience to God. Would you allow today to be a new beginning of your obedience to God, to see God give you the fruit of His blessing?